that gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
A new world order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones Radio
Program. And now for something completely different.
Are you going to play something funny, Lou, or what? Nothing funny today? You even moved the microphone out of the way. Well, this is it. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and you're listening to us live right now. I don't know what's today's... What is today's date? I don't know. Somebody shut down my calendar on my clock. 23rd of September, 2010. Wow, this is weird. I gotta turn up my volume in my headset. There we go. And we are live again. It is Thursday. We did about an hour and a half yesterday. We got kicked off the internet. We've hooked directly into the satellite link. We're not trying Wi-Fi right now. We're hoping that we can get everything hooked up. If you're listening to this on replay, and you're a pod person, know that the DutchJones.tk site is down. That's the big news there. Lou keeps banging on the microphone. Let me turn his mic down a little bit. And it went down not because of anything nefarious. They just had this rule over at the .tk website, whatever. What was it called, Lou?
No, it wasn't .tk. It was 00 web
host. Yeah, 00 web host or whatever. That you can't have chat rooms on your website unless you pay for them. And we violated that. They didn't send us a warning or anything. They just shut it down. And but they said if we pay him like $6 a month, we can put it back up. So Lewis did that. Now we're just waiting for it to be activated. So we decided to stop using the free services because we've had problems with that. And this way we have unlimited space. We can use domain names for email, right, Lou?
Yeah.
So we can set up. So we can, like, those of you that donate, you can get, like, you know, Minuteman at DutchJones.info. Because it's going to be info, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went with the info. I chose info because I like the way it sounds. Info.
I wanted org.
Yeah, he wanted org, but that sounded too organizational. I'm not that well put together. But I thought if we did it, let me turn my mic a little bit here. I thought if we did info, it kind of says what we're doing here. We're just spreading info out. Wow, what's going on here? Yahoo. So we did that, and so I sent out an email to everybody, let them know what we're doing. So if you know anybody that's looking for us, give them this. If you look up right now where you're listening, up there in the browser bar, what do they call this part? The
URL bar.
The URL, the URL bar. Just cut and paste that and tell people about it. And that'll get them directly here until we get the site up. Lou keeps switching back and forth. He is determined to get this site back up.
Hold.
Hey, we're on hold right now, so it could be up before the end of the show. And then Lou, because you didn't lose anything, did you, Lou? Everything's going to be the same. Just going to do it. And then we're actually going to premiere our new video that we just finished. The one that we showed yesterday, we've added about 2 more minutes to it. And we put some more stuff in there. And so we're going to, that'll be the premiere of the new page, .info. Of course, now, I'm glad we didn't order bumper stickers with the .tk on them. Because we were going to order bumper stickers after the conference because we're going to be selling some stuff. And with that, we'd get some more bumper stickers to give to you guys, you know, just to give them out to you guys that donate. You 5 to 7 people that carry the weight of the show, we do appreciate you. And Minuteman, I did get your donation via the usual route, and I appreciate it. You don't have to keep doing that. I think it's unfair that there's 7 people that are donating to the show. I really do. Because when you look, if we have a couple thousand downloads every month, if everybody just sent in a couple bucks, we'd be okay. You know what I'd really like to do? If everybody could send $5, everybody that's hearing this show, let's say we have 250 dedicated listeners and sent five bucks in. I don't, you know, we could use that money to pay all the bills. We could use it to make a nice donation to the church. But I could buy a transmitter, and we could raffle off just at random and give that transmitter away, if you know, to a listener who wants to retransmit this show or Liberty Tree Radio or their own show. Wouldn't that be cool if every month the Dutch Jones Radio Program, we could go to Ramsey and get like one of their 25-watt transmitters, Thank you, Minuteman. I do appreciate that, and I know you do. You believe in what we're doing, so I appreciate your sacrifice. I definitely do. I don't think anybody listening to this show is well off financially. Everybody's hurting. You know, we're somewhere in the middle. We fluctuate from month to month. The Lord always provides. But I think it would be awesome if every month we could set up a new Freedom Outpost radio network or whatever we're going to call it, and you guys would replay this plus whatever you want. Wouldn't that be awesome? You've already got the computers if you're listening. You just run a little cord from it, plug it in the wall. You know, you get that antenna, you get the little box, and you run it certain hours a day. You don't have to run it 24 hours a day. I mean, we run 24 hours a day here. You can hear it buzzing in the background, I'm sure. And we're at about 250 watts because it heated up here again. We were up to 400 watts, but then it started to overheat, so we turned it down. The weather's fluctuating here. It was in the beautiful 70s, and now it's up in the 90s again. And so for the conference weekend, who knows what it's going to be. It's probably going to be very pleasant. So it'll be good. But wouldn't that be great if just every month, everybody that heard this that really likes the podcast just sent $5 and we could give away a micro broadcasting station, you know, put all the little directions in there. I'll make a video to show you how to hook it up. And every month we just send it to one of you. Olima gets the first one. Minuteman gets the second one, you know, and we just decide. And every one of the dedicated listeners gets their own rebroadcast station if they choose to put themselves out like that. It'd be fun. Oh, it'd be great knowing that even if they were just little 5-watt transmitters, only went a couple miles, but you lived in a high density area. That would be awesome. So I'm just, you know, I know things are tough, but just imagine what we could do if we all just give a little. We give a lot. We put a lot into this radio station. We put a lot into the FM station here that people don't know about. We buy the cables. We maintain it. We spent the entire day today working on the radio station and promotional stuff for the cause. You know, we worked on the video. Lou's working on the website. You know, I'm reading articles, trying to, you know, read your emails as best I can. And it's a labor of love, and it's something that's worth doing. And I enjoy it. I'd rather be doing this than anything else. I'd rather be doing this than whacking weeds. But you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We work for the cause, right? Well, folks, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and we bring you a militant Christian worldview, or Christian militant worldview, a patriotic, true patriotic, capital P, not fair weather patriotic or anything like that. I hope it sounded okay. It sounded weird in my headphones, but I think that's because we got all the fans on in here. So if anybody in the room could tell me if it sounded okay, I'd really appreciate that. And we come to you Monday through Friday right here on UBroadcast and soon to be on DutchJones.info, www.DutchJones.info. And it looks like Lou's working on it right now. And when we get everything up, you can get it there. And then from 6 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday now, when possible, when their computers are working and our computers are working, we're on Liberty Tree Radio. Now, you can get to Liberty Tree Radio at libertytreeradio.4mg.com. libertytreeradio.4mg.com. And when I'm not on there, you can listen to them. They've got some great programming. I can't listen to them as much as I want to. In fact, they're on right now, aren't they, Lou? On our FM side. Are they up?
No, it's not yet.
Not yet? Oh, is there still some? Oh, the news is playing. Yeah, I know I don't like Fox News, but that's the only free news we can get for radio, so we play Fox News. After my little diatribe yesterday, you're probably like, what a hypocrite. Well, you know, it's free, and if it gets the mainstream conservative types in our community to listen to us, because every hour we play the Fox News, and then they hang on for the music or the sermons or the... Our most listened to, I really believe, is the Mark Kornke stuff. I really believe that. I think that they just they really, really enjoy that part of it. I'm going to kind of equalize this a little bit to get that hiss out of there. Broadcasting this information, broadcasting the sermons, broadcasting the audio portions of stuff we have is very, very important. The only thing that's probably more important is what to do once the people are turned on to the truth and to the holy cause of liberty. What are you going to do with them? And the key thing is you've got to have something for them to do. There's nothing worse than getting a bunch of high-energy newbies into a room together and having no focus or goal. for what you want to do once you get them there. And what it ends up turning into is a complaint session. You know, everybody bags on Obongo, everybody bags on Bush, everybody talks about the New World Order. And after two or three meetings like that, people stop coming back. So one of the things that I've done here is I've instituted the training, and we talk about the training quite a bit on this radio show, because I want you to emulate what we're doing. I'm not doing it perfect. I am by no means the final authority on any of the information that I give you guys. And I do my best. Only Ma says she just started listening to Mark, and he's really good. Yeah, it's interesting. He's been doing it longer than anybody else out there that I know of. And he has the moral authority and the background where he's definitely worth listening to. Whereas I'm newer. I've been doing this since the mid-'80s, off and on. You know, I spent a few years in the military. I spent a few years here and there doing, you know, infiltrating the enemy and trying to figure out what they were up to. But my goal has always been the same: liberty and justice and, you know, the American way of life. No, I'm not Superman. I'm just an angry white man who's sick and tired of the way things are going. And the good news is I know who to turn to get it done, and I know that's Jesus Christ. And so when we bring these people in, we got to give them a big old dose of that and let them know that what we're doing is a long-lasting, long-standing, and continuous stream of thought and beliefs and execution of activities. You know, you got to have some depth to you, or these people are just going to walk away. So you've really, really, when you reach out, like this video that we're going to put out there so you guys can download it, we can upload it to the website once it's up, right, and they can download it, Lou? Or they can download it off of YouTube or whatever?
Yeah.
So I want you to use the video on your pages and anywhere you can to try and get people to join you. Last night at Bible study, we were talking to one of the newer members of the church. Roe's been here for almost a year now?
No.
No? 6 months?
No, 6 months.
6 months off and on? He comes for the trainings, and he comes to Wednesday night Bible studies, but he goes to his own church down in the valley. And I've talked about him before. But he came to us because of a Tea Party effort that we did. We went to a bigger Tea Party in the valley here. And Lewis and I and the pastor, mostly Lewis, sat down and we made some flyers. And we picked and we cut and pasted on the computer and came up with a flyer that really hit what the Holy Cause of Liberty was about and what the Church of Kauai was about. We still have some of the flyers. We handed out, I don't know, somewhere between 600 and 800 flyers. I didn't keep track because we've handed out some since then. And he is the only person that came to our church because of that effort. And I made the comment last night, you know, that was well worth it, because he continues to come. And now he is reaching out to two other people in the valley, because he lives down in, you know, 40, 50 miles away. He's reaching out to two other people, and he's taking resources from our church, like the videos, the tapes, the sermons. And then he's telling people about this radio show, and they listen to it. He says he listens to the radio show, not when it's live, because I think he's at work right now. And he listens to the show and he shares it with other people, and that's where a lot of the downloading is coming from. And that makes it worth every minute of the effort. But when they show up here, we better have something for them to do. So if you're starting out slow, you might start out with just some history lessons. The trying to think of what Gary DeMar's site on the Constitution, they do the stuff for the Constitution. It'll come to me in a minute. But just study the Constitution, study history. Not the whole breadth of the meeting, because you may, you know, some people that don't want to be thinkers, you may get, you know, hurt their brains at first. But start going over the history of liberty. You can start with the Magna Carta. There's enough resources out there on the internet that anybody can teach it. Show them where our liberties come from. They come from God. Where our rights come from, they come from God. And then show throughout history where the little guy stands up against monarchs and tyrants and kings and queens. And demands it. And each time there's a little victory. Because the biggest problem that we're having right now, I get a lot of these emails, and when I'm on Facebook, and I want to thank the Facebook listeners, I know there's a few there listening, they say, we're just outnumbered. We can't win. There's no way. You know, it's better that I just go hide. But if you look through history, you'll see we're just a handful of men and women throughout history have made huge changes for the good. Lou, go ahead and turn that fan back onto the transmitter, because it's blowing across the mic and it's really bugging me. Take your headphones off. And you've got to give them a little bit of history so that they can see that it is capable of being achieved. Because with God, we're the majority. One man plus God is the majority. One woman plus God is the majority. And the other thing is, just show them the cold hard facts. I love all these people that say, well, they just outnumber us. Do you realize how many combat armed soldiers there are in the combined forces of the United States military? It's probably around 1.2 to 1.3 million. I'm talking combat arms. I'm not talking about the grease jockeys, the radar techs, the support staffs. For every soldier in the field, there's several, probably a dozen behind them supporting them. And that, this is just from experience. I don't have cold hard facts on this yet, but it's somewhere around, it's just over a million, I believe it is. I mean, look what it took for us to wage war in two countries, and just two major wars. We've got troops in 138 nations. Did you realize that? If you get Soldier of Fortune magazine, you can look, and they'll give these little sit reps. Wherever there's a war, we have advisors. You can bet on that. So if there's 138 conflicts currently going on, I haven't checked in a couple of months. It'll fluctuate by a dozen or so. We've got advisors all over the globe. We have about 50,000 in Iraq. I don't even know what Afghanistan is now. They're trying to get it up to a certain number. Remember, at one time there was 160,000, and then the contractors and everything. So, okay, so let's say you take whatever soldiers are in Europe that aren't being used in CONUS. You know, you've got the NORCOM group. So let's say there's 700,000 troops they could bring to bear on us, combat arms troops. 700,000 combat armed troops. And then police forces. How many police officers are there in the entire United States? Does anybody know? Well, I can guarantee it's less than a million. Less than a million. So let's say, just for the sake of argument, they have 4 million armed and ready, angry young people. And that are soldiers from the United States, policemen, trained USDA guys, all that stuff. How many gun owners are there in America? 200 million? I mean, I saw that number thrown out a few times. Let's say half of those are, just because the usually the dividing factor is don't take my guns. Let's say 100 million stand up against a couple of million armed people. So they bring in the UN. They bring in the forces of the world. Other than China and India, which I don't know if they're going to be helping us very much, and they're not going to send every one of their soldiers over. Let's say they did. Let's say China and India combined send every one of their soldiers over. Did you know that in the hands of the American people, there are more guns in the hands of citizens, private citizens, than there are in the combined armies of China and India combined? Bet you didn't know that. So these people that have the fear, you start giving them some facts to help wake them up and get them out of that and say, what are you afraid of? They say, well, there's only 3% of us. And I say that too. You know, if 3% of 100,000, why aren't there 3,000 people coming to church every Sunday? Well, once push comes to shove, they're going to get angry. And they're going to need places to go. And they're going to need people to lead them. And that's the period we're in now, where God is looking for leaders. That's why Chuck Baldwin is coming here. That's why all these people that I bring to you and say, hey, check this guy out. You know, they may not be the ones. But once God anoints the leaders, once George Washington, you know, 3.0 or whatever we're at now pops up, there's going to be a lot of people willing to follow them. But there's going to have to be intermediate people to train them. And that's the time that we're in now. We're learning these skills so we can share them with the masses. And a lot of people aren't ready for it. I know a lot of good people in the movement, people that I love dearly, that are terrible leaders, that just want to be left alone. They don't want to make decisions. But God has put them in positions of leadership, and they don't have a choice right now. God does that. Remember, was it Samuel who didn't want to be the king, and he was hiding? Could be wrong on that. Lou, I'm looking at Lou here. He usually knows the Bible better than I do lately. My Rolodex is full, remember? Reluctant kings, reluctant leaders. But those are the kind of guys you want. General Lee, George Washington, Stonewall Jackson, they didn't want to serve. They had to serve. They were called to serve. And there's lots of, you know, examples throughout history. So when these people come to us, we have to give them hope. We have to give them knowledge. We have to give them desire to be free. We have to give them goals to work for, and they need to be short-term goals. You need to say things to them like, every month, you buy one thing on this list that we're giving you. First month, a bunch of water. Second month, some good boots. We've got time, and I believe the Lord will give us time. It doesn't matter if time runs out before they fill that list, but you keep them goal-oriented. Heh. I'm getting an update here from Minuteman. That is incorrect. For the year 2008 through InstaCheck government, only there were more guns bought than the top 10 armies than the world have. That's from Mark Hornke. Thank you. I knew there was an update on that one. I'm hedging my numbers to give hope, you know. But yeah, 10 times there were more guns bought than the top 10 armies of the world. I knew that number was out there, but I couldn't remember it, Minuteman. So I went with the old numbers. Oh, you killed a rattlesnake.
Honey had it.
Oh, killed another rattlesnake. How many are we at now? 1, 2, 3. Somebody just killed a rattlesnake out front. Did you bury the head?
It's in the fire pit.
Yeah, the cats are.
In the fire pit.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Honey cat.
Yeah, well, don't step on the fire pit now that there's a rattlesnake head in there. It's best to bury him. But yeah, another one. Always got to be on your toes around
here.
Is
that a rattler?
No, it's a baby. It's a littler one.
The honey's probably gonna die.
Yeah. Hopefully she didn't get bit. Did you check her for bites? Just like that other cat that got bit. Good cat.
Well, when she got it, it was like...
You never know what's going to happen here in the Dutch Jones. I don't think we've had a live rattlesnake killing before. We've had just after and just before. But anyway, there is hope. There is faith. You know, you've got to have faith. And if you have no faith, just have hope. And if you're not Christian, I don't know what to tell you. I mean... I don't know what that doesn't mean. You're not going to win. That doesn't mean you're not going to have part of the glory of the victory, and you're not going to. But it, for those of people that know loved ones that aren't saved, now's the time to be reaching out. Yeah, there are more 50 cal guns owned by private U.S. citizens than the rest of the world's armies combined. I was going to get to that statistic. That was going to be my last one. Because we don't have the equipment. We don't have the equipment. We can't do this. Share this with these new people. These facts that we're sharing with you, that Minuteman's bringing up, that I'm bringing up. They always say, but they have the technology, they have the airplanes, the satellites. Well, let me tell you something. Do you honestly think that 100% of the armed forces, police, special operations groups, you know, shadow units that we know nothing about, haven't been infiltrated by patriots, real Christian patriots? When Eisenhower warned people that this was happening, a movement started within the military that officers, NCOs, who knew what was wrong with the military industrial complex, started doing their best to infiltrate. There are entire units of men that will not take arms against American citizens. So when they say things like, oh, how are we going to stand against tanks? We won't have to fight tanks because rogue tank units that go with us will be fighting the tank units that obey the Satan. God can foil, Minuteman saying, God can foil any and all technologies. We don't even need to trust in chariots and horses. Their satellites will fall from the sky when the time comes. I honestly believe that. Well, some rogue nation, Pakistan, will set off an EMP in those dire times and take out all the modern equipment, period. God works in miraculous ways. He will use our enemies to protect us from other enemies. He will. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. This doesn't mean we don't have to train and be as sharp and as strong as we can. And you don't just sit back and say, well, God's going to handle it. But those things will happen. There will be monkey wrenching on a level like you've never seen before. A multi-million dollar jet can be taken out by a $2 to $5 50 cal round from 2.5 miles away. You put one 50 cal round through the control surfaces and the nose cone of a jet, it's done. And inversely, you take away the guy that maintains it, it won't get fixed. It won't get fixed. There is a means, there is a way, there is a definite path to victory and liberty in this nation again. Unfortunately, it's going to be a tough road. I think we've been set upon this course already by others, not by us. I don't go to war by choosing. I go to war by necessity because I've been forced into it. So these new people that are coming in, you have to ease them in. You have to share with them these facts. I get it all the time on Facebook. Oh, there aren't enough of us. We'll never win. Sure, if they come house to house and you allow them to do it. Think about it in Russia. All the dissidents used to write, If we had just stood up when the KGB came to took our neighbors and stood together and stopped the KGB, it never would have happened. Yeah, I like this one. Minuteman's bringing up. One solar flare is going to take out all the electronics. And what not? What would keep God from doing that? He controls the sun. He created it. He can make the sun burp I'll say it in a nice way. And suddenly every electronic device is dead. And we go back, as Melody in the room says, World War II. We'll be at World War II technologies. You know, they might be able to get some radars up and stuff. But their planes won't fly. Their tanks won't run. And it'll be mano a mano, hand to hand. This doesn't mean man to man. It means hand to hand, by the way. It gets misused a lot. Who knows? Soon we'll be using swords, just like they said in Red Dawn. Get medieval on them. That's fine. As long as evil is smoted. And that's what we're here to do. A lot of people don't like it when I say we are Christian soldiers. We are like knights. We must follow a code of honor. Yep. Anatoly Golitsyn. I never pronounced their name right, but there were several Russian dissidents, Minuteman, that I've read that they've just said, in the early days, if we'd have just grabbed garden rakes and rocks... Because the KGB did not outnumber the peasants in Russia. The New World Order does not outnumber the peasants today. The Obongo stormtroopers do not come close to outnumbering the general masses. Like I've said before, our biggest enemy in this entire movement is ignorance and apathy. Ignorance and apathy will kill us, the apathetics. We got the unfortunate chance of, what was that movie Zardoz we turned on to for a moment? It was a Sean Connery movie from the 70s, a futuristic thing. I know nothing else about it except for the one scene I saw where there were all these people just standing around, and they were called the apathetics. You could do anything to them. You could take their clothes, you could violate them, whatever you wanted. And this one person said, oh, that's the apathetics. It's like a disease running through the people. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And I didn't bother watching the rest of the movie because it looked ridiculous. But that one thing hit me. It's like the apathetics. That's what the sheep are. They're apathetics. It's like a cult. They're a bigger enemy to us than the New World Order itself. Because we know what the New World Order is going to do. We know what their goals are. However, we don't know what the sheep are going to do. And even if they're sheep, getting caught in a stampede of them is still going to cause us a lot of problems. So now we train to educate what few we can. We talk about here, we're going to end up being a refugee camp. We figure we can handle about 200 people living on the property. And we figure out, you know, we're figuring it out. We're writing up codes of conduct. We're writing up rules and regulations if you want to be part of our group. But we're also saying we've got to keep them busy. We've got to be training, educating, preparing. And that doesn't mean that we can't do a lot of that now. The more we do now, the less we have to do later, because the more disciplined they will be. And if we have a core group of, say, 50 people that are disciplined and trained, we'll be good to go. I don't know what you're playing there, but it sounds like a break's coming on, Lou. Thank you. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back after these few little messages or entertainment things. Good night. Bye. We'll be back. No, we will be back.
It's coming down. It's coming down. New world orders, training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue. To aim the crosshairs of their guns at the enemy. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down. It's all around. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. To aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless
Moore's Law there flex its long mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some of what they deserve. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training arm is on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue.
There are no subliminal messages, and everything we do is just go back to sleep.
Foreign troops they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up. Fund this tyranny, it's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training arm is on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
New World Order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I keep waiting for more, Lou. For something funny. You don't have anything funny? Oh, no funny today. Lou's working on the website. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and we are back. We are live right now. It is 5:34 p.m. Pacific time on the 23rd of September. It's Thursday. That's all I know. I had a calendar here. It's gone now. I don't know where it went. It was like right here in the corner of my window. But we're coming to you live from Cahuilla, California, in Central California, just outside the I wouldn't say the front gates, but the main gate. There's other gates of Sequoia National Park. We're in the beautiful foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains. We're looking at a different window now. We decided to switch locations. We were having too many problems with the wires and everything hooked to the routers and stuff, so we moved closer to the source for the internet, hoping that would fix things. Then, of course, as soon as we move over here, our websites are down, so disregard that last commercial. We're going to have to cut all new commercials because the new website, if Lou ever gets it up, he's still having trouble with it. It's not him, it's the provider.
I'm trying to talk to the monkeys at Hosting 24.
The monkeys at Hosting 24, and they're just giving him the runaround. Here, do this, and he does it. So, but our new one will be DutchJones.info if it ever gets up. But I have no doubt that Lou will make it work. He's a master at this little hacking stuff that he does. But we are back, and we're discussing how to deal with the naysayers, kind of how to deal with newbies, and how important it is that we don't ignore the fact that we need to have something of substance for these people. We just can't share we just can't throw a couple DVDs and CDs in their mail slot and then walk away. You know, we can plant the seed, but we have to go back every once in a while and fertilize it with some knowledge. And one of the goals that I have, and hopefully it's the goal of the church, is that when people come here, that we give them something to follow. That we give them something that they can take away with them every time. That's kind of my philosophy on the show. If I gab for half an hour, sure, it makes me feel good, but does it do anything for the listener? I want to make sure I have some nuggets of truth, and that's why I like the interaction of the chat room here. Because, you know, people can throw up stuff, and I can, yeah, throw that out. I just got a request for the article that Minuteman sent me on that new food bill, S-510, I think it was. People want copies of that. So as soon as I get off the air, I'm just going to send that to everybody on our mailing list. They want to read it, and I ask you to do that. Google it. Don't just take everything I say for, you know, as gospel, because I'm not. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a prophet. I'm just sharing with you one man's opinion, one angry man who's tired of seeing the world go the way it is, who's trying to do something about it. And right now, this is the only way I think I can affect change, is by training those that will listen, you know, hands-on here, and putting a bug in the ear of the people that will listen to this show. And more people are listening to the show. Olima is showing me the numbers every month. It's great. How many people are downloading it and the emails I'm getting from all over the world, but specifically from the United States, because that's where our cause is. Liberty is a global cause because, we serve Jesus Christ, and He's for every man of every nation. But I focus here sometimes, well, almost all the time, on what our problems are. Another thing that you want to do when you're trying to start out, and let's just call this what it is, when you're trying to start your militia, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, your Bible study. I know a lot of militias just call themselves Bible studies because they don't want to draw attention. That's fine. There's a lot to be said for security. The location is really important. You want a place where you can talk freely and openly, where people won't have to be like whispering. I still remember that one militia meeting I went to in, I think it was Los Alamitos. And it was at like a Taco Bell or a Taco, what's the other Taco? Del Taco. And I go in there, and everybody's wearing camouflage sitting in the back corner, and I'm like, this isn't for me. This just isn't for me. But I've been to some that were like out in the middle of nowhere. That works well. But it's got to be some place where people can be comfortable, especially new people. You don't want to say, okay, the first time we meet you, we want to take you on a three-day hike. That'll just burn people out, and they're not going to want to take part in it. And I had a lot of people that are no longer members of our militia. They were like, oh, I'm really mad that we're not getting to hike around the hills yet. I go, well, no one here is capable of that. Well, actually, we have a couple people that are. I said, but the majority of the people in our militia wouldn't even know what to bring. We got to take baby steps. We got to start out slow and get progressive. So maybe meeting in a church or meeting in a conference hall or meeting in the living room of a house is the best place to start. Where you can, you know, you want to have some place where you can show videos. You want to have some place where you guys can, sit down and talk openly and not worry about it. So secure a location before you start recruiting. Sometimes these things go hand in hand, and they just, you know, you automatically have the location, just like we do here. You know, we've got the church, we've got the fellowship hall, we've got the research center, we can have meetings, and we've got houses all on the 20-plus acres where people can meet and we can fellowship. Because training together is fellowship. It is a holy act. And you've got to put some effort into it. You know, and that, if that means, you know, writing up a little agenda of what you're going to tell them, tell it to them, and then tell them what you told them. And give them something to take away, even if it's just a handout on how to start a fire. You wouldn't believe, I thought at first that people wouldn't want that. I taught a class on fire starting, and everybody was just eating it up. Don't assume that the people coming to you have got a really broad knowledge base. Just because somebody looks like a cowboy, he probably isn't in this modern day and age. You know, teaching a class on first aid, CPR, those kind of things. You know, you wanna find out what the latest information is and bring it out. We've had classes on butchering animals. Nobody knows how to do that anymore. Well, now a bunch of our people do. A lot of people took part in it. You know, so you've got to get creative and educational and entertaining too. It's one of my gifts. I know it's not a spiritual gift, but I'm able to teach, and I enjoy it. I mean, you could simply teach a class, which I've done this before, on how to put your stuff in your backpack. Where to store, you know, what are all the pockets for? What should go on the bottom? What should go on the top? I mean, most people don't even know this, but one of the advice that I've taken with me over the years is that your pack should never be more than 25 to 30% of your body weight. So we've had people come up with everything, with including the kitchen sink in their packs, and I'm like, what if you had to run? Well, I would just drop it. Well, then you lose everything. A simple class on how to pack a 3-day pack is critical, and there's so much information out on the net. When our website's up, you can have access to that stuff again, too. But if not, you can go to Liberty Tree Radio. You can go to survivalblog.com. I highly recommend it, survivalblog.com. I haven't visited it in a few days because we've been really busy around here, but I like going there and looking at what they got. But always give them something to take away. Knowledge is power. And if you're teaching them to take care of their own family, especially if they're the heads of the family or the wives, it'll give them confidence, which will reflect into their families when they go home. It'll help do away with the fear. Well, if we do this, if we do that. I talked about giving them a list of things to get together for their bug-out bag, and they do a little bit each month. If they can do two things a month, fine. But you bring them along. And if the balloon goes up and they only got half their gear, they're better off than they were before they met you, aren't they? So you're not going to hurt anybody by just, you know, giving them little things like that. Start small, work big, baby steps. The time's going to come when I'll say, no, it's too late for that. Just hand them a rifle, 200 rounds of ammunition, and stick them behind a rock somewhere. And, you know, let the Lord decide if, you know, if they're going to survive or not. Because if they've waited that long to train and the bullets are already flying, you've done everything you can do. But if people have got the courage or the desire or the curiosity, whichever is driving them, or just the time, and they come to you, you're going to have something to give them. If you're going to call yourself a militia, because the definition of militia is basically, and I don't have the 1828 in front of me, but it's people coming together to train martially for the defense of their neighbors and their community, to protect life and property. So you're training. Training is the key thing. It's not just showing up and seeing who's got the coolest new rifle, who's got the, you know, the best camouflage. Oh, that's fun later. The training has to have some substance to it. It has to have some depth. And you got to be approachable. So that people can ask you questions. You don't want to. If you've got a guy in your group that just got back from Iraq, or he's a Vietnam veteran, or he's been to every training session you can buy, and he's got an ego and he insults everybody, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with the personalities. You got to make sure that, you know, that everybody knows that there are dumb questions, but sometimes the dumb questions need to be answered to make sure that that person's standing where they should be. If you got somebody who keeps asking dumb questions, well, you got to have a loving heart and deal with it. But you're going to say, look, you know what? Maybe you're not a combat arms person. Maybe you're support. We really need support. Like I said, for every boot on the ground, you're going to need several people behind them to keep them fighting. Even in a militia group. And not everybody's cut out for it. I know I'm not cut out for it anymore. I'm very realistic in that. My role is trainer. My role is motivator. My role is recruiter. I know that. Maybe if things change and I have a miraculous healing and a miraculous sense of when to stop eating and I lose enough weight, maybe I'll get back to that level. That's a duty that I have to deal with. We all have our burdens that we're bringing to it. And even if you can just train your people to monkey wrench, if you can only be a monkey wrench militia, then you do that. If you read Patriots, there was one group in there, I think nobody was over 15, and they took out a bunch of tanks. In the book Patriots, it was great. They were all like sub 15 years old, and they were a raiding unit. There's a place for everyone in this cause, and it's not always combat arms. Train people in medical, train people in logistics, train people in community. Oh, logistics. Getting the stuff the soldiers need from where it's at to where they are. That's logistics, period. getting the bullets, the beans, and the band-aids to the people who need it the most. That's logistics. If it's motorbikes, if it's burros, if it's on foot, if it's by balloon, it doesn't matter. Whatever method you're going to use, you have to practice control, and you have to practice inventory. You have to make sure, because if you don't keep track of your stuff, a good quartermaster can win a battle or lose a battle. A stingy quartermaster can definitely lose a battle, not allowing the troops to have the equipment that they need. That's the cool thing about a militia, though. If it's like when we were talking about the 50 cals, and I've heard Mark talk about this, and I've talked to other militia guys. We in the militia don't have to go requisition the 50 cal if we own it. You don't have to go to the armor and fill out paperwork and hand over your weapons card. You have it with you in your living room, sitting on your coffee table, ready to go. That's the advantage of the militia. Now, we do have some command and restrictions and things like that, but we don't have to wait for somebody to bring us a wagon load of ammunition. We have what we have on our backs, and we've trained to fight within that limit of 220 to 300 rounds or whatever it is. And you do that. That's another thing. You've got to come up with standard operating procedures, and you do that collectively. You know, there has to be somebody who stands up, a couple of people, like an executive officer, you know, those types of things in the group. And you'll see that develop, especially if you're a small group. You'll notice in our video, we fluctuate in size depending on the training. Sometimes we'll have 30 people show up for a training. Sometimes we'll have 8. I think the smallest training I've ever done was 8 people. And that was the fire, fire starting and map reading. It just fell on a bad weekend. Yeah, but I will have to do it again. And if I do it again and the same people show up, I will not offer it again to the people because it shows that they're not dedicated. Then you think, well, I don't need to know that somebody else is going to know the compass. No, everybody has to know everything. Everybody has to be cross-trained. We're working on getting our radio set up now. And we'll have to have a training on that. I'll probably have to find a ham operator to come in here because it's beyond my skill level. I can hook everything up, but I don't know how to turn stuff on and tune it and do all that kind of stuff. That's beyond my skill level. And I'm praying that the Lord will send us a radio telephone operator, because we need that. I can put batteries in anything and push to talk. I can do that. And with Lou reading the instructions and telling me what I'm doing wrong, I can do it pretty well. But somebody needs to be in that radio room and operating it. You have to look at what all you're willing to do. You have to look at everything you're willing to do and see, if we only have 5 people, then cut that list down. Maybe see, all we're going to be able to do is we're going to practice getting in and bugging out. Getting in and bugging out. That's it. And you become the best little infiltrators and bug out people you can be, until the Lord sends more people your way. But this is a stage of grace that we're in. And we've really got to focus on this. There's so much information coming at me, I can't consume it all. Everybody, and just the nature of what I'm doing here on the radio and my position in the church, people are here, look at this, read this manual, do this, and I can't get through it all. And some people get insulted when, you know, hey, did you watch that video? I haven't got to it yet. I have stacks of things, and there's only so much time in the day. But I assure you, I relish that fact that I have the ability to look at anything I want to. I mean, right now I'm looking around the room and there's books on man trapping, there's books on survival, there's Christian books to my one side, there's reference books behind me. I have a lot of resources. So you've got to find a source for these things. Even if it's just a digital source online, download everything you can now, because you don't know if it'll be there tomorrow. And I know it's expensive to print it up, but put it on a thumb drive. You can always hook a solar panel up to a car battery, to an inverter, and run a computer to get the material out later, at least into your head. But it's best to have it hard copy. Print the stuff up now. So, you know, if you're the only guy, you read it out loud, that's the best thing you can possibly do. I know Minuteman told me about this, but I was listening to Coast to Coast. I think it was last night or the night before. They had a CERT instructor on there. Now, I didn't agree with everything he was saying, but it was just, you know, this guy was just, he just started small and worked his way up through the CERT ranks. Exploit any training mechanism you can. Any training, what?
So it sounds like training.
Oh. Any training opportunity you can, exploit it, even if it's the enemy. Just go and put a smile on your face and learn what you can. A lot of these communities, they do all kinds of stuff, like the military bases. They always have these civilian tours. They'll get, oh, people are welcome to come and see how the base is run and all that. When I was in Riverside County, I went to Norton Air Force Base. I went to March Air Force Base multiple times. I got an opportunity to fly along in a C-5A for refueling. I jumped on it. I wanted to know what that was like. What do they do? What are the procedures? What are those black helicopters over there for? What are those two F-16s for? And they tell you everything that you can know. I went on a tour of Armed Forces Radio and Television one time just because I saw in the paper it was open to me. So I went to AFARTS, and that's what we call it in the military. And I found out, you know, I saw all this equipment, and I said, well, what is all this for? I'm in broadcasting myself, and I don't know what all this equipment is. So, oh, we encrypt data in the signals to all our ships and our embassies and our bases overseas. We send them encrypted data. They just told me that. So I knew that. And then I was like, well, how do ships get the signal if it's satellite and they have to lock on? They said, oh, we use this geosynchronous thing, and the ships can get all the information. They can watch the TV. They can do all this. And in the meantime, we're sending them all kinds of information. These public information officers just let a lot out. So now I know, and if you follow my logic here, that if we wanted to disrupt the covert communications with all of the armed forces, AFARTS is a really good target that isn't well guarded. Now, I just said that. I threw that out there. But those are the things that our enemies know, and so we need to know it. Satellite dishes are easy to take out. You know, granted, they'd only be down for a little bit, but every minute of disruption that we can cause the enemy is good. The only way I found that out was by going on these tours. I know people that are in the Navy right now at the Naval Air Station by us. Every chance I get, hey, how's it going over there? What's it like? Hey, I heard they're letting a lot of people out. You know, whatever. Get them talking about don't ask, don't tell, and just let them talk. And eventually they're going to talk about the things that irk them about the Navy. Then give them a copy of the Constitution and see where it goes from there. Excuse me, I got a cough here. Sorry about that. I'm going to turn down Lou's mic. He's just picking up a lot of... That $9 mic picks up more sound than the $50 mic that I'm talking into right here. So I turned your mic down, Lou. That probably sounds really sweet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk?
No.
Oh, don't bang on it. Lee wants to talk, I'll do that. Now, I don't know if Liberty Tree Radio is going to pick us up, but we're going to continue this type of discussion into the next hour, because it really hit me in the last couple of days, because we've lost some people in our group, but we've gained some people. And I've been really reevaluating how I react to some of these people. And I want to, you know, some of them I'm glad they're gone. A few of them I'm sad they're gone. You know, very, very small number I'm sad they're gone. But most of them I'm glad they're gone, because I don't think they were cut out for this. Because things were great for years, and I'm not... And I don't want to sound like, you know, I took it up a notch or something, but that's kind of what I did. For years, they just kind of floated, oh, this is great. We get to wear uniforms. We get to train three times or four times a year. We get to go shoot holes in paper. And then as soon as I instituted, you know, a code of conduct and aggressive training once, twice, even three times a month, we've done training sometimes, people started getting scared. Well, I can't believe you're doing that. Why are you teaching these kind of things? And we're not teaching anything illegal. Everything we're doing is, you know, so legal and lawful. But it really shook a lot of cages, and it made them think, like, man, do I really want to be involved in this? These people are serious. Before, it was a game. And you're going to get a lot of those people, too. So I'm going to continue on this line, because what I want you guys to do, because I get the emails from you guys, and I know that most of you are alone. Most of you are alone and are not part of a group. Some of you are part of several groups, and that's great. You know, there's always good networking. But I want you to feel empowered with the knowledge that is coming through me, because I'm not really the source of a lot of this, that you can take this stuff from this radio show and the stuff from our church that you have access to through me or through the archives and build your own group where you're at. The small cell level is the way to go. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about in the next hour if we get onto Liberty Tree Radio. Well, we'll talk about it anyway, but as we get onto Liberty Tree Radio. And those of you just catching in, the website is down. They took it down because we violated their terms of use, because we had a chat room. It's funny, we were up there for like a year and a half, and they never said anything. We're bad people. Yes, we are. We are very bad people. It's because Lou put a chat... Well, Lou said it was because he was operating a sweatshop or something off of the website, but I don't know how he did that. What were you making? Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. Yeah, he's funny when the mic's down. When I turn it up, he doesn't talk. Yeah, he was making Chinese flags in a sweatshop. Yeah, using Chinese children to make American flags and sell them to patriots. Is that what it was, Lou? Yeah, so they took down our website, so it's going to be a couple days before we get it back up. There is no DutchJones.tk, there is no DJ store, so don't play the commercials, it's just teasing them. And that, so that you guys know that. And thank you for everyone that emailed me in panic. No, nothing happened to us. We just lost our webpage. So we had to end up finding a place where we could pay $6, and we got our own domain name. And eventually, Yeah, Lou is the sweatshop laborer. We don't pay him anything, but we do feed him, clothe him, house him, and let him shoot our guns. And he has his own guns. But I told him that today. I said, you know, you're lucky we feed you. But that's the way it was when I was a kid. So why don't you play some music right now and as a buffer, because I've got to get some stuff together here. And we'll go to a break. It'll be a long break, about 3 minutes earlier than normal. And we'll wait for Liberty Tree Radio to come in. Stick around. We'll do another hour on starting your own militia.
I want a good steed under me like my forefathers before. I want a good man when the bugle sounds and I hear the cannons roar. Well, I want to be in the cavalry if they send me off to war. Well, I want a horse in a volunteer force that's riding forth at dawn. Please save for me some gallantry that will echo when I'm gone. I beg of you, sergeants, let me lead the charge and the battle lines are drawn. Let me at least leave a good hoof beat that remember loud and long. Well, I'm not a good foot soldier, make every sour and slow at march. And I'd be sick on a Navy ship and the sea would leave me parched. But I'll be first in line and they let me ride. By God, you'll see my starch. Low back on the heath with the laurel wreath underneath that victory arch. Well, I wanna be in the cavalry if they send me up to war. Well, I want a good steed under me like my forefathers before. I want a good man when the bugle sounds and I hear the cannon roar. Well, I wanna be in the cavalry.
Dutch Jones Radio.
A saber keen and a saddle carbine and an army Remington. Where the hot lead screams with the cold, cold steel and maybe a cavalryman. My boots and place them back to front, cause I won't be back on the riderless black and I'm finished in my hunt. Well, I wanna be in the cavalry, they send me off to war. Well, I wanna be in the cavalry, but I won't ride home no more.
There is a big thing that's going to happen in London at this G20, and then they're hiding it, they're camouflaging it, they're not talking about it. Coordination of international regulation. What they are going to do is to put our Fed and our SEC under the control, in effect, of the IMF.
Oh, come on. They're going to take, they'll do this.
That's what was in the draft agenda. They call it coordination of regulation. What it really is putting the American economy under international regulation.
Yeah.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah, well, when Geithner,
it's happening.
When Geithner said he would be open to the idea of a global currency last week,
yeah.
Those conspiracy people had said and suggested that for years. Right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And you know, it's what they always do at these conferences is they have the center show is here,
yeah.
And the side show they don't want you to pay attention to.
Right.
The center show is the size of the stimulus packages.
Yeah.
The real show is international regulation of the financial institutions, which is going to happen under the IMF control. And remember, the IMF is run by Europeans,
right.
The World Bank by Americans.
We'll be right back.
gun!
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out on all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
Dutch Jones Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We are back. We're going to turn my headphones up all the way and the microphone down. This is a live version of the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live. It's Thursday, the 23rd of September, 2010. And yes, we do know our website is down, and we want to welcome all of our Liberty Tree radio listeners. And we're getting lots of email. We violated some terms of use thing about having a chat room on a free website. Was one of the things. And Lewis, right now, our head engineer, our computer hacker extraordinaire, our 15-year-old, well, soon-to-be 15-year-old, Monkey Wrencher is trying to get the website up. We paid for the site on Hosting 24, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And they keep telling him, well, just keep entering the password. And he keeps doing it. He's been doing it for like 3 hours. He's going nuts. And he's right now arguing with them on tech support to get the website back up. So the website will be back up soon. I don't know when we'll get our store back up. It's just Lou's got to do a lot of hard work, so I'm just trying to leave him alone. That's why we're not having any sound effects or anything. He's like a madman obsessed. He wants to get this website up. Now he's yelling at him, saying, well, then give us back our money. He's like a little pit bull when he types. And he's all mad at him. He says, well, give us back our... I want my $5 back. Because it's $5 a month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $5 a month. So if not, we'll find some other free place and throw it up tomorrow. So we can bear a few hours of not having the Dutch Jones website up. And we apologize for any inconvenience that may cause you. I know a lot of people love to go there and listen to the radio show there. But if you know anybody that's like that, we're missing about half our listeners because of it in U Broadcast. Let them know just to go straight to the U Broadcast. If you're in U Broadcast now, you just look up there in the URL, URL, and just cut and paste that in an email and send it to them. And say, want to get your Jones fix? Got to go directly to U Broadcast. And, of course, we thank... we've got Scotty in there rebroadcasting us. We've got Olima in there recording us, and then the pod people listening to it. We've also got our people on Facebook listening. And so we've got a whole group of people here, and we welcome everyone to this. Now, we're going to continue what we were talking about in the first hour. Lately, a lot of the emails I've been getting are about fear or a feeling of hopelessness, that there's no way we're going to beat the New World Order, the UN, the Chi-Coms, whoever the enemy is. There's not enough of us. And we went through, with the help of Minuteman and rehashing some of the intelligence report information that we've gotten over the past few years, that we do, in fact, outnumber them. We just have to find a way to motivate the masses, activate their mindset, and get them all thinking properly. And to stop sitting in a pool of their own domestic fluids and whining about it. I just realized that Olima's laughing. Get your Jones fix. I guess if you're jonesing for Jones, you know, it's pretty funny. I never even realized that. That's another Dutchism there that I made up. I butcher the English language. But if we can get everybody together, this is going to be easy, folks. And, of course, the Lord is on our side. This is the holy cause of liberty. That's what it is. Liberty is meant for all men and women. All children, all races, all creeds, all colors. And I know that offends some of my Nazi white supremacist listeners. I still don't know why you're listening to me. You're not going to convert me. I don't get it. Maybe God's working on your heart and we're going to soften it. I get a lot of people that are like, you know, sending me all this Hitler stuff and Klan stuff. And I don't mind the Klan so much because they're not so much white supremacy. And I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. People, how do you support? I'm not supporting the Klan. But they've softened their message. They're like, just, hey, we just want our heritage, our pride. Leave us alone. You know, they're not doing the whole, you know, they've separated themselves from the Zeke Heil morons. And maybe that'll get rid of a few of them when I call them morons. But the holy cause of liberty is for everyone. And we've got to have something when they show up. And in the first hour, I talked a little bit about having a training doctrine having takeaways for them, stuff that you can give to them that they can hold in their hand and they can work on, motivating them and holding them accountable, saying, okay, at the last month's meeting, we said we gave you a list of 12 things. How many things were you able to get? If you only got one, you pat them on the head, because people do what they can. You know, if you know the guy's, you know, a six-figure idiot and he's got three Mercedes-Benz and a Rolex watch and he only went out and bought water, then you kind of go, look, you need to be trying a little harder. But if you got somebody, you know, a single mom who's working two part-time jobs or maybe on welfare and food stamps and she's pulling along, you congratulate her. You help her. You say, well, that's great that you did that. And then maybe the people in your group, once you start doing, I'm going to give you a French term here, esprit de corps. It's not French. Is it French or is it Latin? I always mess that one up, esprit de corps. And you start helping each other out. We've got people in our group that have they've been hoarding their whole lives. They've got more gear than they need, and they did that on purpose because they're altruistic. So we get somebody new who's like, man, I don't have anything. You know, we're not talking about weapons or anything, but LBE, backpacks, boots. We're always constantly, hey, who needs this? If I find a pair of size 8 boots for $3 and they got good tread on them at a yard sale, I'm buying them. And I'm handing them out to the guy who has size 8 feet who doesn't have boots. We bring them in. And it's typical at one of our church meetings afterwards. Hey, I've got this. I've got somebody. In fact, Minuteman one time turned us on to a bunch of, I think they were, I'm not sure if they, I think they were Swedish women's uniforms. We just brought them to church, started handing them out to women. You know, they were like dress uniforms. You know, then they modified them, and it was really nice. The pastor's daughter showed up one day wearing the whole thing and the hat, and it was cool. And we do that, and we help each other out. So you've got to have a place for these people to come to, and they have to feel welcome. If you have an elitist attitude like, hey, we're high speed and you're not, that's not the whole point of what we're doing. You're counter to the cause of liberty when you do that. You got to have an open door policy, you know, within reason. You know, you don't want to get some infiltrators and things like that, but that's not the topic of this show. It's looking for people that are hungry for the truth and hungry for finding out. They know something's wrong. They know something's very wrong, and they want to fix it. That's the point of the 5 to 10 program. That's the one we're running right now. Well, we'll be running it, but yeah, the 5 to 10 program. He's saying, and that's true, and we're all trying different angles to get you guys motivated. Listen to Liberty Tree Radio. You know, those of you that are listening already, but those of you that are listening through you broadcast or anything else, libertytreeradio.4mg.com. libertytreeradio.4mg.com. A couple of my listeners saying, hey, we've turned over to that. After we listen to you, we switch over there, or we go there before we hear you. That's what it's all about, networking. It's like I said, I wish we could get enough donations that I could send out transmitters every month to one person that's a loyal listener and a loyal supporter of this show so that you could spread the truth. It's not about me. It's not about Liberty Tree Radio. It's not about Ed. It's not about Dutch. It's not about Mark. It's not about Pastor Warren Mark or Chuck Baldwin. It's about the holy cause of liberty. And if we serve God first, the other stuff's going to fall into place. And if we approach it with that attitude. So when you put yourself out there as a militia, you got to give people the opportunity to learn something. Don't just have it be a whiner fest where people come up and just complain about the New World Order. So we talked about having some training doctrines, things to take away. And you have to have, the way I do it, and this isn't by any means the perfect way. It's not, it's just the way I do it. I'll have 4 major trainings a year, and that's the way we do it. But monthly trainings, and sometimes weekly trainings that are fit to situations. But I like to have little compartmental trainings. Like when we did our first series of training, everything was orientated towards search and rescue. Because our goal as a militia is to be as legitimate and historical and community-based as a militia as the Founding Fathers militias were and the early church militias in this nation, even when it was under British control. So that if a lost kid call goes out, we already have a good relationship with the sheriff and the deputies in the area. We can call them up and say, hey, we've got 10 guys that want to help you. We're trained in search and rescue. So what I did first is we brought in a professional tracker. He's actually in the room now. A professional search and rescue guy to teach a few classes. And we had that. Then I taught some communications classes. We taught some navigation classes, some observation classes. We taught everything that focused towards that over about a 4 to 5 month period.
What are you doing there?
Okay, you just had to get your record. Oh, Stacy's leaving to cook dinner. Cool. Can't wait. Corn in the cob. So we'll see you when we get down there. And then at the end of it, and I didn't even tell everybody we were going to do this, we had this giant search and rescue operation.
I'll probably get disconnected.
Okay. I know you'll get disconnected, but we'll... No, don't change the antenna now, because I'm using it on the router. But, yeah, we'll get it set up as soon as we're done. We only got, a few minutes here, 50 minutes, and we'll hook it back up. So at the end, I took a neighborhood kid, simulated breaking, told him, here, go up to this point, and I showed him where to go. And you hide in this little crevice rock area, and we're going to have people search. Well, we had so many people show up for this training. We had people come from 60, 70, 80 miles away when I told them about it on the radio. They showed up to train. We had four teams of like 8 to 10 people each. So instead of just looking for the one kid, and I had planned for this, and I had prayed that there would be enough people. I thought, well, we're probably going to get 5 or 6 people. So I set up a grid on 25-plus acres because we used the property behind us. And it's like playing Dungeons and Dragons. It was like I was the dungeon master. I had them looking for other objects. I had role players that were playing annoyed landowners, like, what are you doing on my property? We even had some people acting like they were, because in our area we have marijuana growers. So we had people that were like setting booby traps and stuff, and these people had to look for it. I know you're laughing about it, but it was actually a very good training. And one team did find all of the things, and we gave awards out. I gave out presents They weren't major awards. They were like little survival. Stacy's typing while she walks. That's hilarious. She's walking down the hill, and she put that into the chat room. But it's wonderful to see they got excited about it. We had 80-year-old people in the TOC, Tactical Operations Center, operating the radios for the different teams. I had one lady. She says, "There's not." She God bless her. Says, "What is there something I can do? I can't walk. I can't really understand what the radios are." I said, "We need somebody to record in writing everything that we're doing." So she just sat with me, and she just was like a secretary in a meeting and wrote everything down. And we had, once they located the person, they had to extricate him from the rock, so we got into some of that training. They had to transport him in a stretcher. We had a vehicle, a four-wheel drive vehicle, go as far as it could into the mountains where they were, so they didn't have to carry him all the way back because it was pretty far up in there. It was a great training for everybody. It was the first major training that they'd really had here that incorporated everyone in the church. Everyone. I mean, we had over 40 people out there. And honestly, it wasn't that hard to pull off. It really wasn't. The hardest things to pull off, are the stuff with firearms because of safety, prerequisites, the amount of money involved in getting the ammo, getting, that kind of stuff. But don't focus just on the martial side of it. We're going to have a training coming up setting up shelter operations. Now, whether it's for a flood, fire, or for battlefield wounded, a shelter is a shelter is a shelter. And setting up medical, hygiene, communications, security, everything is the same. Right? So the skill sets are there. So you need to have somebody in your group, and I know it's hard. Not everybody likes doing this stuff. But you have to have somebody who's creative, task-oriented, and is able to coordinate a bunch of people. And it could be 1, 2, or 3 people doing the same type of job. But you have to designate somebody within your group that's a trainer. I think that's one of the first things you have to do. Even if you don't have a leader, if you have a trainer, at least your time will be constructive. Otherwise, you're just going to sit around a campfire and complain about the New World Order. And I've been to militias like that. And it's annoying. I'm like, man, why did I waste my time to come up here? I could do this on the phone. I could get on the 2-meter net, and we could do this. I want to learn something. I want to do something. The next thing you need to do is your trainer needs to seek professional trainers. Don't have an ego and say, well, I can train these people to do everything they want. No, you can't do that. I have no problem with somebody that has much better skills, know-how, training than I am to come in, and I'll step aside and just be their little lackey and help them out. You can't have pride in this kind of thing. You've really got to get rid of pride if you're going to be an active part of a militia. And it's tough because it gets expensive, but if there's more of you, like, we usually end up paying $100 a day per person for training, for really good martial training. Everything from offensive knife training. They keep calling it defensive knife training, but I don't think there's any such thing as using a knife defensively. You're going to cut the person. Rifle, pistol, precision rifle, night vision. What are some of the other trainings we brought instructors in for? I think that's tracking. Tracking was free, though. Thankfully, we got a good friend that teaches tracking. What else have we brought? Magic. What was the one you had? The non-standard response pistol training?
Standard response.
Standard response and non-standard, though.
There's some non-standard.
Yeah, and the instructors we bring in are world-class instructors. In fact, they're both new Americans. One's Polish, one's Austrian. And I talk about them all the time, and they're going to be at the conference, those of you that are coming. And it's important that you bring in outside, so you don't train in a vacuum. Bring in outside instructors. Train with other militias. We've got an open-door relationship with the Exeter Militia, and I won't say that we've become one, but we definitely understand each other now. And we do a lot of training. We trained with another militia just one time, and the whole Christian thing scared them off, and we've never seen them again. And some of those guys will be in the video that we're going to put up on YouTube tomorrow, our recruitment video that we're going to be putting up. That we'll, if we ever get our website up, we'll put that up on there to show you some of the stuff we're doing. And I'm not doing this to brag. I'm doing this to empower the people that are alone out there. You're not really alone. You just don't know who the others are. So the key thing is making sure that once you find other people, you have something to do. You have to be goal-oriented in this training. You know, we borrowed heavily from Liberty Tree Radio. We have all the videos that we can imagine. I think there's equipping for the New World Order 3 we haven't got yet, and we need to get that if it's even out. I don't even know if they've got a 3. I've heard rumors that there's equipping for the New World Order 3. We've got 1 and 2, and it's checked out. We've got the Spike videos from, what's his name?
Bo Greitz,
thank you, Rolodex boy.
Three of them that don't work, though.
Yeah, there's 3 of them that don't work. We gotta find the masters. We have a very extensive library for our militia and our church. I mean, everything from cleaning and skinning game to picking locks, and everybody shared the burden of buying those videos, and they bring them in, and we put them in the library, and people check them out. We have a little card system. You got to keep track of the gear. Like I said, logistics and keeping track of stuff is very important if you want to call yourself a militia. Otherwise, you're just a band of, you know, people going around and doing stuff. But we are recording again now. And I apologize to Olimar, our archivist, and anyone that wants to hear the previous session has to go to the archives, and there's no way to get to the archives because the website's down. So, maybe we are under attack. Uh-oh. Lou just got knocked off again. Just stop. Just let's keep the show going. Don't scan the internet. Don't surf the internet. Just keep it the way it is.
Hello,
oh, look, see, now I'm getting... gotta turn mine off. Can you hear that? Give me a minute here. So everybody's dropping out now. That's their plan. They want to drop us out. They don't want people listening to us. Well, anyway, we're going to continue with this. I got about 3 minutes here before the next break, and God willing, we will be back. Let me turn up my mic a little bit here. And we're just trying to put together a basic plan. This is the bare bones Dutch Jones approach to getting people motivated. I'm not a great person at it. We've lost a few people, like I said, but I'm trying to keep people interested in this cause. Both with training their minds and their bodies, keeping them busy. Now, one of the good things that I like to do is a game that we play. Well, we don't play it up here yet. I'm going to institute it once everybody gets their gear. When I was in a militia down in Southern California, we would line all of our off-road vehicles up. We all had four-wheel drives, and the driver, the player, and an assistant driver, usually a husband and wife team, would stand at the right and front tire of the vehicle, and then one person would draw out of a hat pre-designated slips of paper that have items on them. It's just my pocket knife fell on the floor. Different items, survival items, vehicle items, camping items, and whoever could get into their vehicle, produce that, and run a short distance, you know, 15 yards, and lay it down on the line, and the first three people, the first person got 3 points, the second person got 2, third person got 1, and then anybody else after that got, you know, a great big nothing. And the competition was great, and there would be hilarious things. You know, we had one guy yell out Barbie doll because it's family oriented, you know, and they had a couple people had Barbie dolls. But usually it was oriented like, you know, 30 round mags, flint and tinder, first aid kit, you know, winching material, you know, the snatch block and the tree protector, that kind of stuff. And the competition was a great way, you know, a fun competition to build these skills and to make sure people had what they had. And what we would do is we had a membership fee. Now, not everybody can do that now. And it was like nothing. It was like $10 a month. And that money went into a couple of different things. One, it was to buy communal gear. But also we'd buy items to give out for these competitions. And usually it was something that was on the list. And if somebody already had one, then usually they ended up donating it to the person who didn't have one, who didn't even win the competition. That kind of camaraderie was built up. You know, that sense of teamwork was strengthened that way. So what I've done here, not on that level, but like when we were doing a battlefield triage training at a New Year's Eve party, we had stretcher races. And they had to, and I told the victims what their injuries were. They had to explain it. I mean, we didn't have moulage or anything like that. And they had the basic materials to splint, stop the bleeding, you know, do that kind of stuff. And they had to transport the people. And there were races to see who could do that the fastest. We set up a Nerf indoor shooting gallery with typical targets that we would be shooting at on the range. But we used Nerf guns, and it ended up being fun for the whole family. And it was a great way to build a spirit amongst everyone. We're going to come back after the break. Congratulations, Lou, getting us back up so fast. He had to reset the router. But we are back, and we'll be back for the final half hour here on Liberty Tree Radio and on U Broadcast and wherever else we're going.
For my country, for the pain that it's been through, she's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are forming, winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as a dream's been crucified. America, I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. Show my love for you in all that I do. All that I do. I pray for my country and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance, while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom and raise liberty. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynasties. America, now show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, America, now show my love for you in all that I do. I see it in your eyes, I love you out inside. You know, I'll never let you down as long as I have breath. As I try to change and rearrange the promise that I have with you, and I will pick you up and stand you up and set you back up on your feet. And after all I've fled and no one's left, I will always be there. And be there by your side, and I'll never let you down. I cry for my people in this time of tragedy. I just want some answers so the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. I say hallelujah.
toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back. Praise the Lord. We were able to get it back up. Lou just started throwing everything at the floor and plugging it all back in, and it seems to work. You did a great job. Thank you, Lou. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I just refreshed, stepped away for some tea. I hope I didn't miss much. Olima, that's okay. You do a good job. You deserve tea once in a while. We are back, and for the final half hour, we're going to continue to discuss here what my philosophy, the Dutch philosophy, is for keeping people interested, retention, training, what you should do once you get people. This is for just a starting out of militia. This isn't for these long-existing militias that have been at it since the 70s. I'm not trying to tell them what to do. They're doing what they're doing. It's working for them. I'm not saying everybody has to do it my way. What I'm looking at is the family-focused, small group, small cell, whatever term you want to use, oriented way of organizing and developing a training doctrine and a sense of mission and belonging. And of course, everything we do here starts with Jesus Christ. We are God-based. And during the break, Scotty 38 put in Ezekiel 33:6, if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, that the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And it's talking about those that are supposed to be vigilant, and there's a requirement and a duty to be a watchman and a warning. And there are other verses, and they're in my head, but if the watchman keeps watch and is not doing it for the Lord first, he is watching in vain. If you build a house not on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're building in vain. Same goes with your militia. Same goes with your militia. If you've got a small group, a small Bible study, that is the place to start the militia, folks. That is the place to begin the training. And if it scares people away, where are they going to be when the wolf comes knocking? You know, when he comes growling and little pig, let me in. Where is he going to be? If he walks away now, if a person walks away now out of fear of preparation, how much more so will their cowardice be when the bullets are flying and when, you know, the MIBs are at the door? Men in black, by the way. And you don't want them around you anyway. But when you've got your core people, trusted people, you've got to give them things to do. And I'm talking about a few of the organizational things that we do, a few of the entertaining things that I do. Of course, you guys know that I'm incorporating CERT on a monthly basis of what we're doing. I like the CERT program. I don't care if it's from the federal government. The Lord uses our enemies for good. Why can't we? So we're not going to go on, you know, off on that tangent. But the games-oriented, the family-oriented, getting the kids involved. Our youth, our children, to be arrows in our quiver that we fire at the enemy. We have to instill in them a sense of duty and honor, a code of ethics, a love of Jesus Christ, and a love for our brothers and sisters. So you've got a small portion of it, not all of it, but you've got to include some training when it's family-oriented. And before the break, I was talking about we use Nerf guns. You shoot the little Nerf rockets. And what we did is on the targets, we use these specific targets from ATAC Academy. You can just Google that, ATAC Academy. And we cut out where the face target is, and you have to shoot the Nerf through that. And then we do the chest and all that stuff in it. And we have them shoot from different positions, everybody, not just the kids. And then we have presents for the people to get the best points. One of the things our pastor does is an observation, it's like a diorama. That's the word I'm looking for. He'll lay out a poncho liner. that's camouflage, and then he'll cover it with a net, and he'll use little G.I. Joes and even smaller, you know, figures, little Humvees and some full-size stuff like different rounds, and he lays them in the wrinkles of this diorama that he's created with different levels and things, and there's probably 30 or 40 things in there. And what we do is we give, was it 2 minutes? We time them. It was 5 minutes where you lay down past a little line on the carpet where we put some scotch tape, and you write down everything you see and you give an approximation of where it is. Now, of course, what we're doing is we're training them. When we do our precision rifle classes, we have to do the same thing. You have to do in your sniper's notebook. You have to range and everything. So we have them on a smaller scale, less detail, have to do this. And, I mean, there's some things in there that people have found that nobody else saw, that you're just amazed that they saw it, that they were in there. You know, little pennies, Ranger pace counter cords. And it's already on a camouflage surface. It's already stuff. So it's a great skill builder. You know, it's in bright light. You know, there's some camouflage netting over it. That one, people just love that. So I took that. I saw that 1 year. So the next year what I did is we were doing an observation drill. I can't remember what holiday it was. Was it New Year's Eve that we did it, where you came in as the Serbian terrorist?
Yeah.
What we do, I dressed Lou up in my best mixed-matched camouflage. I think he had a World War II jacket on, mm-hmm. and BDUs, and he had a ski mask on, and I gave him a Mosin Nagant with the bolt missing, and he came in and planted a suspicious package. And then I had people, you know, he walks in, he looks around, he got on his radio, gave a radio call in English. It was actually to me. I was outside the room, and then he left. And then I came in, and I said, write down everything you saw. And I gave him, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to write everything down they saw. And I started asking questions. I had a pre-designated list of questions. What was the patch on his uniform? And, you know, they had to describe it. What type of uniform was he wearing? You had a pistol, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, what side was the pistol on? And nobody got that there was no bolt in the rifle, though. And it was slung over shoulder. Who? Somebody did? One person noticed that the rifle was inoperational. There was no bolt in it. And the package that he put down, I said, what was the package? And everybody said, oh, it's a bomb. I said, how do you know? And I said, do I have any volunteers to go check it? And we had one 14 or 15-year-old kid that went over, and when he picked it up, I had
picked up the wrong box, though.
Yeah, he picked up the wrong box first. And I'm like, no, that's not the box you put in here, because there was another box. Oh, you're right, Lou. So finally he picked up a box that had a big X marked on it. And when he picked it up, I had a mouse trap triggered klaxon in there with a bunch of batteries, and it was like this loud squeal. And he dropped the box. I said, congratulations, you just killed us all. You never touched the box. You know, we went through this whole thing, you know. They'd had the training before about suspicious packages and stuff. But it was just fun. And everybody, you know, but then I said, okay, now we had a good time here, but what would happen if a gunman came into the church and did something stupid and we had to recall this to law enforcement? You have to work on your observation skills. Granted, everybody should be ducking and covering and let the people do what they're going to do that are there to defend the church. But I think I got the point across that you can have fun, but you can teach serious skill sets. And a lot of people, it's like when I was an MP and there was a car crash and there were 4 witnesses, you get 4 completely different descriptions of both vehicles and what happened. It's just the way it would go. Because your average person doesn't think about, you know, I would teach you to do a head-to-toe assessment. You know, or from ground up. You pick a system and you go with it. Okay, he was wearing white tennis shoes, blue jeans with a white T-shirt, and then you get more detailed on the face. You may say, well, he was a Caucasian male, about maybe 5'7 to 5'10. He had short blonde hair cut in the asking, you know. And there were all these skills that I imparted upon the people in our group. Well, how do you describe it? What activity? What door did he enter in? What path did he take? And once I started asking those questions, like, oh, I never thought to write that down, or I knew I should have wrote that down. We all do it. Because I'd been trained this way. This is how I learned to do things at the Military Police Academy. This is how I learned in private training sessions. And everything that we learn, we should be very diligent in being able to retrain it, or train it and share it with our militia brothers and sisters. The next thing I want to talk about is, if because of finances, not everybody can go to front sight. Not everybody can go to DFT. So what we do is we rotate. Like last time it was Lou's turn to go to DFT. And then when they come back, they teach us. Now, we all can't afford, you know, $300. How much was it? $100 for 1 day?
Yeah.
$100 for 1 day training in this advanced pistol stuff.
And then, you know, some tips.
Yeah, and you get all kinds of tips and stuff from a proven warrior. You know, Rudy Waldinger?
Yeah.
Did I get it right? Rudy Waldinger at DFT. and stories and everything that he got. I said, remember everything you get, and you come back here and you tell us about it. And those of you that are coming to the conference are going to see some of that, because you're going to demonstrate what they learned in that last class. Every member of your militia has the duty to whatever they get the chance to learn, either on their own or if everybody pays to send them, you do that. I've had people pay for me to take classes and then I'd share it with them. You know, I come back here, let me show you this. I've had people here when I had no money and I didn't have $200 and 600 rounds to take a two-day class. People who had sent me who couldn't get the time off for work and said, just take me to the range someday and show me what you learned. And we've done that. You have a responsibility, every single member of that militia unit, especially, you know, if you don't have the finances to send everybody to front sight, well, then you send one guy, and he takes copious notes. You know, it's kind of hard to videotape while you're in the class, but when you go to your motel room that night after the four-day pistol, every night of the four-day pistol class, you're tired, you got to clean your weapon. I know that. But then you sit down, and you take a notebook, and you write down everything you learned. You should do that anyway, so you have something to go back to. Something to go back to learn. And then you got to practice those things. You got to hold each other accountable. I practice dry fire training every chance I get because I can't afford to be shooting rounds. Dry fire practice, especially with a pistol, is really good. Muscle memory is everything.
Just not a 22.
Yeah, I got to put that out. Don't practice dry fire with a 22. You'll flatten out your firing pin or break it and causes all kinds of problems down the line when you really need it. But having that warrior mindset and having that trainer mindset are just as important. They're both two sides of the same coin. And you've got to do an assessment of everybody in your group. One of the things we did is we handed out 3x5 cards. And I said, and I made it fun too. I said, okay, what do you want your radio call sign to be? What skill set are you bringing here that we need to know about? Are you a welder? Are you a nurse? We just found out the other day we had somebody that was like a certified medical assistant. We had no idea. She didn't tell us until like a year into the training. But that's good. And then you put that. And then I always ask them, what is it you want to learn? Something that you have no ability to do right now. But if you had the opportunity, you would be able to do it. And a lot of people, you know, they put all the martial stuff. But some people, I want to learn how to do IVs. I want to learn how to stop bleeding. I want to learn how to be a battlefield medic. And then when you look at those, and as your command people, you know, your three or four guys, you get together and you look at it, you can start building the structure that way. And you got to be flexible. It may not work out. We've got one guy, and I'm not going to use his name. He is not very martial, but he wants to be part of the militia. And he just came to the pastor one day and said, "Look, you know, I know you guys kind of are wondering why I don't sign up for any of the shooting classes or fighting classes." He goes, "I want to be here. I want to help, but I know I could never pull the trigger on another human being." Now, this is a prime example of you got to know your limitations. And this guy, without a doubt, you know, and I would disagree with him. If somebody was killing his mom or something, he'd probably be able to do it. But in this world right now, he's done the self-soul searching. And he says he can't do it. So we're going to put him in the medical field, or we'll put him in the transportation field, or we'll find something, communications for him. He's young. He's very able-bodied. He's a natural mechanic, so it's kind of obvious what he's going to be doing. But everybody should have a minimum martial training. So you've got to convince this guy, and I'm going to work on it. Say, look, you know, I understand you're saying that. I respect your decision. But if you're part of the militia, you have to have a basic manual of arms instructions. So if I throw you a Mini 14, you have to be able to function with it, period. It's just like the philosophy in the Army. I remember when I was a military policeman, when we would have large operations, like at Fort George G. Meade, just before I left, we had a huge lockdown on our post. Razor wire was up everywhere, and the MPs, we were guarding the talk. They brought in the Army marching band, and they augmented the MPs. I didn't know that until that day. And all these, they all went through 13 weeks, I think it was at that time, of basic, you know, infantryman's training that you get when you join the Army, and then they went out of the band. But they all knew how to handle weapons, and we had to teach them a little bit on how to do, you know, traffic control points and points of entry and, you know, and transport of, you know, subjects in and out of the control area, that kind of stuff. But they knew what they were doing. You know, we were 95 Bravos. I don't even know what they're, you know, I mean, they change all that stuff. But everyone, down to the guy who makes sure that your vehicle's running, has to have a weapon, has to know how to use it, and has to be qualified on a regular basis with it. So what we'll do is, like July 4th, we'll have shooting, you know, just for the ladies to come out. We'll let them shoot our pistols and everything. We want to make sure they know how to do it. But we know that our nurse is probably, hopefully, God willing, never going to be in that situation. She's not a battlefield medic. We'll have other people that do that. But our nurse, but what if something happens back in the infirmary? You know, she has to be able to grab a weapon and use it. And she knows that. So she took the class. And she was reluctant at first. And I was a little angry. I was like, this person, you know, she wants to be part of it, but she doesn't want to shoot. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but she's I guess you call it a naturalized American. And she's from a country where shooting is a way of life. And I'm like, how could you grow up in that country? She goes, oh, yeah, we shot all the time. We hunted. It's just, I don't want to. Once she started shooting the pistol that the pastor loaned her, she loved it. She was good at it. She's actually in the video. Stacy's in the video too, in that class. There's a lot of women in that class, one of the pistol classes that I decided to highlight to show that everybody has a role to play in this recruiting video that we're going to get up in the next few days. It'll be up on YouTube tomorrow, definitely, and I'll maybe send out an email to let you guys know. But she loved it. We have a doctor. Technically, he's a dentist, but he assures us he can stop bleeding and sew up bullet holes and, because he said the dental stuff is pretty much the same. His wife was really reluctant, and we said, you know what, you need to take this pistol class. And they're not even a member of the church. They're a neighbor, but our doctor is dedicated to the cause of liberty, and he knows he's getting, the odds of him being here, his dentist shop is down in town, and the farthest he goes is maybe 30 miles to his other dentist shop. He's going to be here when stuff happens. So he approached us and said, I want to be part of your militia, and he's in our training video. His wife took it, and she said, I hated guns first. She goes, now I respect them. I don't like them, but I respect them, and I know what they're for. Big difference, and that wasn't as big a victory as I had hoped for. But then on the other side of the coin, we had a couple people, and they're not with us anymore, that were downright dangerous on the range. They never grasped the basic safety. We had this discussion the other day. Safety on a range versus safety in combat are different things, but you've got to ingrain in them muzzle awareness, knowledge of the weapon, function of the weapon before you bring it to a training scenario. Maybe you should go some one-on-one time with somebody who knows that pistol. And we were led to believe that they had that knowledge. So they show up on the range, they're sweeping people, they're pointing it at people, they keep taking it out of their holster and setting it on the chair and walking away. Lou got swept more than one or two times, and finally the instructor says, if you do it again, you're gone. And these two people came out of the class, and we're doing the debriefing, and they're like, oh, I feel so prepared now, like I can, one of them actually said, I can defend DJ if he goes down, and we're like, we don't even want you having a gun. You know, and it's rare that that happens, but those situations will arise. And fortunately, God put a situation in there where it caused a disagreement, and they just left. And I know they're still listening to the show. They're not in here right now, but they do listen to the show. Because I get emails every once in a while from them commenting on what I say. But there has to be a weeding out. There has to be a refining. But that doesn't mean you throw everybody away. It's rare that I would want to throw anybody away. We've had other people leave just because they're scared. You guys are getting real serious now. You're going to draw a lot of attention. This church has been doing this since 1964, Debbie. When did the church get founded? Your family? Yeah, Debbie was like born into the church. 66? No, I think the church is a year older or a year younger than me. So it's 64 or 65. 64, 65, 67, right in there. They all know about us. Anything we're doing now, big deal. So it gets rid of those people. But the training should always be a little bit more challenging than you think your people can handle, so it brings them up. I know when I did the team tactics, we had 4 days of training. Two of it was carbine, basic carbine, and then 2 days. We've had 4 days of team tactics so far, and I participated in two of them. So I did the 2 days of carbine, videotaping it out there, assisting, helping out. I didn't really do much. The instructors did all the work, but I made sure I got a lot of pictures and stuff. Did first aid for some people, things like that. Myself, I got a round right in the nose and bled like a pig. An expended round that came out of the ejected port hot and like cut my nose. I bleed like a hog.
I said dog.
A dog. And then we had the 2 days of tactical training, running around the hills and kicking in doors and stuff in our training house. And I tell you what, that Saturday night, that last day. I was praying that nothing would happen because I could barely get out. I couldn't get out of my recliner, which was a good gut check for me to show that I'm not in shape, and I really need to do something for that. Lou keeps hitting me in the gut now. He's checking my gut. If it jiggles more than 3 times, you got a problem, right? Isn't that the Homer Simpson technique? You got a nice little gut there, Lou. What do you do? Oh, yeah, I got twins in here. But once we get after the conference, that we've got a gym in the area. It's $25 a month. I'm going. And I'm going to try and get a couple other people here to go with me to challenge me, because I'm one of those guys that...
A gyme? What's a gyme?
Guys.
A gyme.
A gyme. Did I say gyme?
No.
No. Thanks, Lou. Now Lou's messing with me. I deserve it. I'm hard on him all the time. But we mess back and forth. It's a great relationship. It's kind of like Abbott and Costello. Right? I don't know which one's Abbott, which one's Costello, but we do.
16 hours.
Yeah.
Reunion, John.
I got him watching Abbott Costello now, and he's loving it. Maybe we'll watch another one tonight. I think tonight's The Mummy, right? We'll watch The Mummy when we have dinner. But knowing your limitations is really important, but being willing to work those, because your brain will cut out before your body's, you know, is ready to cut out. Your brain will tell you, no, don't go any further. And so if you train with other people, when we brought in this instructor, I'm thinking, man, I paid $200 for this. I better get through this. At the end of the first day of training, I was like, okay, I feel pretty good. But the next morning when I woke up, I'm like, I'm walking like, you know, the bottoms of my feet, I got pins and needles in them. And it's my fault. I've let my body go. I really have. You know, from the, I got a picture up in our house now of me in the military police school when I was 17 and a half, I guess it was. I wasn't quite 18 yet. And I'm like 145 pounds, shaved head with two of my buddies just before I went to Central America. And I just look at that. I need to use that as motivation. I just stick that on the fridge every time I go to open it to get another pudding or something. Because I can hear pudding. It calls me from the fridge. I can hear pudding at about 30 yards going, eat me nuts. So I need to put that picture on there. But all your training should all... You should always train harder than you think your people are at a level. Don't patronize them. Now, your first training should be things that there are definitely more victories than failures. Like, you know, when we did our search and rescue, there were a lot of, you know, people cross-talking on the radio, not using proper discipline. Some people picked up the destructive devices and wanted to carry them back to the talk, you know, when they found them, because I told you we had the marijuana guys putting booby traps out. You know, hey, this looks like some kind of bomb. Yeah, you were a marijuana guy, weren't you?
I was suspected.
You had shifty eyes, it was reported on the radio. Hey, the
beady
lights.
Beady eyes.
And so, you know, and I brought those up, but I highlighted the positives to encourage them to come back. And I think people enjoy the training that I do. I really do. Ed dropped out? Oh, no. I guess the Liberty Tree Radio guys got tired of hearing me. I don't know. It's like I'm going to try to do this. I don't know if we're going to be able to do a show tomorrow now that we're winding down. Now that I just looked down and see that it's got about 2 minutes here. My daughter's going to be delivered to us. I have to make an exchange at a naval base. That's the closest you're going to get to us. We have to drive about 70 miles away to go pick her up. And honestly, if it's during the time of the show, I'd rather see my daughter. Maybe we'll download the archive of this show and upload it tomorrow morning, you know, what's left of it, so it'll repeat tomorrow, because there's not going to be anything to repeat except for the last 40 minutes or so, because we lost the first chunk on you broadcast. If we had the bandwidth and the computers, we could record our own versions of it, and that way when we dumped, you know what I mean? But thank the Lord we have Olimod doing it. So, folks, we're wrapping it up here. I hope some of the things I said hit with you. I know some of you old-timers and hardcore guys are thinking, you know, what's the point in that? There's absolutely, you know, you're not giving me anything I don't already know. Well, this show is not for the hardcore. In fact, I hope the hardcore people listen and then send me information and say, hey, you were wrong about that, or here's something you might like to try. That's the point of the show. And we continue to struggle here. You see it right now with bandwidth issues, with our website being down. Your support's needed. Right now I can't send you to a PayPal site, but I'll email everybody. And if we get the website up on Saturday, maybe I'll do a show on Saturday afternoon. You know, we'll play some sermons or something, you know, just so we can get something up for the weekend. And we'll advertise the new website. Lou's got their help people working on it right now. Is that what you had? You have their monkeys working on it? Yeah, he's still checking it to see if it's going to work. He's got everything saved. He just needs to upload it. But your support is needed. I mean, remember what I sent out in that email. If everybody just pitched a couple of dollars a month, all the people that are downloading, we could buy extra transmitters and hand them out to you. I wouldn't even sell them to you. We would ship them to you, because I get them at half price from Ramsey, because we use Stacy's resale license. If I could get a 25-watt transmitter and send it to you for, you know, if we had an extra $250 a month, wouldn't that be great? And then, you know, you got, you know, spend $30 on an antenna of some kind, and you start transmitting out of your dorm or your apartment. Or Olima was saying she was living on a porch or something at one time. I don't know if you still are. Throw that antenna up on the rain gutter and just start transmitting. And then you plug a mic into it and transmit whatever you want. You know, I'm not saying you have to do Dutch Jones if you do it. I'd like it if you would. But the point is, we've got to get the truth out there. We've got to get the word of the Lord out there. And we've got to keep fighting. And we've got to keep reaching out to the people that are savable. Not the sheep, but the curious and the searching. Keep checking out... I see somebody's calling me now. Check out the website for the church. thechurch@kuia.org. thechurchatkawea.org. Check out the conference. There's still a few seats available. We're filling up fast. We're adding speakers all the time. We're going to have training demonstrations. It's going to be a completely spiritual and physical conference. We're going to teach you some weapon stuff. We're going to teach you... I'm excited about it. This could be the spark that ignites something. I think if the Lord wants to, this could be it. You know, 250, 300 people here all going back to 8 or 9 different states with this knowledge could start something. And I'd hate for you to miss it. So God bless you and all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. I'm Dutch Jones. I don't know where the Liberty Tree Radio folks went, but thank you so much for listening for as long as they did. And just remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord alone. Good night, and God bless.